extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Kalen Carr, Kalen with a C, Tom Bogert, Tom with a T, David Goss.
Can I say something?
The number one fan of the commissioner of Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Well, he's your fan.
DG's.
He's listening to your analysis.
Well, DG's stay United.
Also, you realize if you say my last name, you don't need to actually spell it.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said Tom.
So what's confusing is Kalen. Kyle has actually changed her name to Kalen Carr. So
okay.
You guys are the same.
Yeah, so Kyle could be with a K, potentially.
So,
or C.
I'm going to give Wiebe a slight amount.
Kyle Aaron, right? Yeah, come on.
I'm going to give Wiebe a slight amount of credit here, but like obviously anyone who's watching can see us. Anyone who's not, you can go to Apple TV to see
MLS
us.
MLS season pass.
Yeah, MLS. Well, it's on Apple TV.
Right.
Keep saving a beauty.
The New York thing to do is to just wear black. Like people in New York wear black. So these three are wearing black. And then the most Jersey Shore thing you could do is wear a denim kit off on the side here. I'm surprised it's not tie-dye color too. Like a custom-made
that's
denim
actually,
coat.
That's actually real denim. That's not the like fake
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah. This is actual used jeans refashioned.
It was like, look at this screen. It's just three random right, dudes no. all wearing
I'm
black.
I'm just being different.
Ready that's, for the subway.
I'm yeah. being myself, unique.
Oh, man. The All-Star Game. Going to be a good time. Voted in by the fans. Denny Bowongo of LAFC, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, Lucho Costa, Thiago Almada, Aiden Morris, Hani Mukhtar, Alvaro Barrial, John Gallagher, Matt Miazga, Walker Zimmerman, Roman Berkey. Some good choices in there. Some ones we might have a little bit of beef with. We're going to put
many
one on and take
how
one
How many
off.
People made the All-Star team?
26.
26?
You think Wiebe's going to read all 26?
Well, we're halfway there.
Okay, cool.
We've already done the commissioner's picks, so we're more than halfway
there.
Do you think there'll be a knock-on effect to this where it's like, the people that sacrifice are the All-Stars? Very rare do you see the people who have... sacrifice for the team. Think about it, Wiebe.
It's like a purple heart.
Yeah.
Christian Benteke, Christian Espinoza, Yakumakis, Hector Herrera. This is for you, Dave. Jose Martinez, Ricky Puig, Lucas Zelarayan, Ryan Hollingshead, Tim Parker, John Tolkien, Tyler Miller, and Georgi Petrovic. We have now read all 26 All-Stars and given them their credit, due, and moment in the sun. Would you like to take folks through our starting 11, Dave?
Sure.
Can we talk before we read more names?
Yeah.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
So if you walked away from the list Wiebe just read you, is it is heavy on 10s, as expected. Light on 6s, which is where I was let down. Not as light on defenders as normal. Like you actually have a back line that's available, and you have a million goalkeepers, I guess. You technically
three.
Need, yeah, you need
yeah, three.
That's a roster.
Pretty normal number.
Yeah, it feels like too many to me, but that's here and here. So we put together a starting 11. We went, well, not everyone was there for this, so I can just, we went with
so
a 4-2-3-1.
I already have a complaint, so
okay,
we'll get to it after.
Yeah, oh, but formation, you're okay
No,
with?
I'm good with that, yeah.
Go line by line. So start with the goalkeeper, please.
So we started with Roman Berkey. The options are Berkey, George Petrovic, Tyler Miller.
Just list them. Read those names.
Tyler Miller, probably the most unexpected pick of this team, or is Matthew Schwanier more unexpected?
I don't know, man.
I think Schwanier is more expected because the
Aiden
coach
Morris
his own
is
guy.
Also a bit of a surprise.
Wayne Morey.
Sorry, what a show!
It's been a punchy day already. Wayne Rooney picked his own guy. I would not
Let's
have chosen
the starting
Tyler
11.
Miller. I think Andre Blake is just the blindingly obvious choice here, and that's no disrespect to Tyler Miller. It's just that Andre Blake's
no disrespect,
the best,
but I want to cut you.
Probably the best goalkeeper in the league, and he's not on this list. I think Joe Willis could have been another one you threw in there.
Can we get to the 11?
Sure,
we're going.
Well, we did. All right, so the back line we have across the back line we have Alvaro Barrial at left back, Miazga Zimmerman center back pairing, pretty much the only center back options, and then John Gallagher we decided at right back originally. I think we had John Tolkien in the starting lineup.
Yeah, but I think Barrial's had a better season at left back. And in an All-Star game, I'd rather have the attacking side that Barrial brings. I think he's better than Tolkien in that sense. And then Gallagher, it does not matter what side he's on.
Did you not see Jaime Sombrero, Ronald Araujo last year against Barcelona? Because that's attacking.
I'm not. I understand the show that I'm on. Like, I'm speaking to a man in a complete denim kit.
Yeah.
So I get that New Jersey is representing. John Gallagher, we all good at that at right back? Kalen, yeah. You're locked in on this. You're super invested.
Yeah, I actually hadn't. I was not included. Who was included in this? I think it was just the two. Yeah,
was okay, just I was going to say.
Well, we're the only two who were working. Yeah. Some people were out to lunch or right, on their right. phones.
I think I would have taken Petrovic to start. I don't know. Tom, would you I'm like to make
Berge.
A case?
I'm good with Berge. Okay.
All right. I'll stay silent then.
Kalen Island.
The others.
Go back. Partly because, I mean, the All-Star game, yes, I understand. I think they've both been great. Berkey, you know, is big name, and I think deserves, based on his play, to, I think, being a starter. But I'm sort of also looking at the spectacle of this.
Yeah.
And I think Petrovic, for me, is 23 years old. He's hasn't
a
played
spectacle of a goalkeeper right now.
Well, he's going up against Arsenal, and so many of the clubs in that
could be playing against Arsenal soon. Eh?
Exactly. In that yeah. realm are looking at him. So, you know, there it's hard to take much from the performances. Although I would say a goalkeeper, especially thinking defense is not going to be in the highest order, can actually stand out in a match like this. So there might actually be something to gain for him. I don't think much to
We've
lose.
We've now split. It's a this side of the table.
Do so this is the case I would have made if we table. Were to, yes, if I would have been included.
It's a very convincing case. We, you know, look, Petrus is going to be sold probably soon. Let's put him in the shop window. Let's
Do we
star
think
build.
Matt Turner is going to start for Arsenal?
Probably.
Georgie against Matt. We never seen
Done.
Them together.
Is that three against one now?
No. I'm picking Berkey the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Still Berkey. Okay, so that's our back line. Now we have Jose Martinez and Thiago Almada as our two deeper lying midfielders. Does anyone have anything?
Hector Herrera. Just based on like there's no like Thiago Almada can't play as a you know a double pivot. So that's
all you thought Aceh was gonna do defensive work in this All-Star game?
More so than Thiago Almada, sure.
Get out.
I'm not that
here.
Interested in defensive work personally.
Get lost. Yeah,
get lost. But I do, it's a good shout.
Do you think Aceh deserves to be in a starting lineup ahead? And then the rest, let me do the rest.
Thank you.
Dennis Bouanga, Lucho Acosta, Hani Mukhtar, and then we have Christian Benteke up top. One, because it's in DC, and two, because it's deserved. My original pick there was Jesus Ferreira, but I came back around on Benteke.
I think front four are obvious. I'm with you on the front four. Mm-hmm. No complaints. DC, you got to get Benteke up there.
I agree.
Well, and all these guys running off him as well. Like, yeah. Just, you know.
Lucho underneath.
So what's your complaint?
I already told you that the Thiago Almada playing as a double pivot.
Oh, so you think Aceh deserves to be in this team?
It's not really a double pivot. It's an extra 10.
So you want to take out Thiago Almada?
I'm saying if we're trying to make a realistic 11.
Would you slide him higher up the field in place of someone? Or you wouldn't slide him?
I mean, oof. Now that'd be tough because I don't think that you can drop any of that the three line in the attacking midfield.
I would put I like the Hector Herrera shout, but I would put him in over Martinez.
No way.
Yep. Because I'm not.
This sounds like
to
a
defend.
Team Schwanier needs to be in, so he can help keep the glue to be the glue to keep it together.
I'm not. You know, we are starting to battle between us, trying to pick a team. But I don't know. I'm not going to be defending. I like Martinez, and I think he's one of the best sixes. This is an anti extra time take, but I don't know if I need a six in this game. Just keep the ball. Bring in Aceh. He's going to control the tempo, the pace of the game. He's put in a lot of work defensively when he needs to, and then. You get the ball to Almada. I would love to see the two of them connect in the middle midfield.
He's making convincing arguments.
This is baloney.
I should have been at this pre-production meeting.
It's an all-star team. It's not a pickup game. And Jose Martinez is more important. Well, first of all, this shouldn't even be Jose Martinez. It should be Nwobodo or Andre Kubas or someone like that. But those players are more important and better in Major League Soccer than the players you guys are talking about right now.
Would you like to make your swap now?
Yes, fine. I want Nwobodo in, and the player I chose to take off was Giacoumakis because Andrew Weavy has created a shrine of this guy 6 months before he even came in this league. He's in deep chats with Celtic fans being like, you wish you could have him back. You love him. Everything is Giacoumakis.
I'm just
the way he stalks around the field.
I'm a source
for
the
sun. The way he smells goals.
I'm
just like,
have you seen what Giacoumakis is doing here? Celtic could certainly use that, huh? Huh? I do love
you
Giacoumakis.
Love him.
I truly adore him and just his single-mindedness. And he's a huge personality. That's what this game needs. Is a guy that's going to like deadpan into the camera. Like, of course, I deserve the MVP of this game. I am the best player here. And
is that how he talks?
No, I know it's not.
Obina Nwobodo is arguably the most important signing in the last 3 years in Major League Soccer.
Make the argument.
FC Cincinnati went from the worst team in the history of the league to on pace to being the best team in the history of the league. And he plays at what we have now seen over the course of time, the most important position for successful teams in MLS. So they went from the worst defense to the best defense before they got Matt Miazga, with a rookie goalkeeper, a rookie center back last year with Ian Murphy, Nick Haglund as a starter, Alvis Powell starting like a bunch of games last year. Now this year you've got Arias a little bit as well. He is the difference.
They have three players in the team, so that would make it four. But look, the pace that they're on a record-setting pace. They would annihilate the record by the Revs.
How many years did we have to forget Diego Chara for him to have died in vain to not have allowed the next six to be celebrated?
Diego Chara did not suffer for this. I agree. I am going to, you know, if you're going to take off Martinez or Yakimakis or whatever, I'm going to put Julian Carranza on, and I'm taking Jordan Morris off. You dug up the stat in the meeting. One goal since April 1st. Love Jordan Morris, but he's not here right now. Julian Carranza is. He's on a better team. Apologies, Anders. Union are better than Seattle. And he's scoring goals at a crazy pace. I want Carranza in this game. When I voted, Carranza was in my front four. So Julian Carranza's in. Jordan Morris is out for me. Kalen, what about you?
I am going to take out Ricky Pouche. I just don't think that he's had the season. Part of All-Star is, frankly, based on how your club plays. You know, that performance is a part of it. Not every team has an All-Star, so you don't necessarily need to pick somebody from every team. He's got one goal, three assists. I think we'd come in with the expectations that he might be up for the most valuable player. That hasn't happened, clearly, and for a lot of reasons around him that aren't necessarily his fault. But I still think this is a big honor to make the All-Star team. That's why it's exciting when you see players that are deserving get stepped into it. And I think the most obvious answer for this is Carlos Hill. And that's the biggest omission, frankly. It's like, I almost can't understand how you can have an All-Star game in MLS without Carlos Hill. His team is, it's also, if you look at the team performance, you look how they are without him in the lineup for New England, then you see what they look like with him in the lineup. So he's got 7 goals, 9 assists on the season. And it's like, not just about the stats, but he's walking away over Ricky Pouche and probably, frankly, most of the midfielders that are chosen. But yeah, I mean, Carlos Hill is, for me, a really, like, that's the one where you're like, somebody fix this. Like, this should be fixed, whether through whatever picks, mechanisms, drafts, waiver drafts. I don't know what it is.
Who's dropping out, huh?
Yeah, somebody's got to go.
Who's picking up an injury, all right? Yeah. We need one of you.
No, we don't want any injuries.
Not a real injury, but, like, you know.
Let's just add another spot.
I'm a little sore.
So
I just don't understand.
So you take away the fan vote because you can't obviously change that. Sure. That is what it is. Of the coach's picks, here are the attacking mids. I don't think you'd put Espinoza in that, but Ace, Ricky, Zellerion, those are kind of the positional ones that you could have put Heal in. Zellerion's put up huge numbers, more as a goal
scorer. I'm good with Zellerion.
Yeah, so it would be, Pouche would be the one who would come in and out for him.
Yeah.
That seems like an easy one.
Yeah. Agree. And maybe it'll happen. Look, the other thing is we always see these all-star rosters. I wasn't encouraging players to actually physically be injured. I'm just saying, sometimes guys have, you know, there's a knock where there's like, hey, I'm going to be out 2 weeks and this is going to overlap. Can't do it. Also, the Gold Cup final, I believe, is July 16th. And this game is July 19th. So I don't know how that will work. But, you know, we were talking about Matt Turner. Jesus Ferreira is obviously Walker's there.
Walker's not on the Gold Cup.
Oh, yeah, he's not. Yeah, sorry. Jordan Morris is on that team as well. So there are some players that there are some question marks depending on Gold Cup run, I guess. What's your swap here, Tom?
I would also drop Jordan Morris for Julian Gressel. That's where I'd go. I think Gressel's been so important and so very good for the Vancouver Whitecaps. And maybe he doesn't quite have like the box score numbers because I think it's like 3 goals, 5 assists. But like, I don't know, Julian Gressel has been, you know, one of the best midfielders in the league this year. And at an All-Star game, he can play central midfield. He can play right back. Like, he would be one of those guys who ends up playing like 65 minutes just because you're rotating in the tens and the center forwards. And it'd be like Chouinard and Julian Gressel. Like, oh, you can play center mid. Now you can play right back. Now you got to play left back because there's only one left back. Like, so I think Julian Gressel would be very useful.
We also wondered what Julian Gressel and Christian Benteke would be like.
Yeah, so true.
Now we get our opportunity to see Julian Gressel whip balls into Benteke. It might not be the box score numbers, and Vancouver's traded a ton of chances, haven't been the most efficient at finishing them, but the like deeper chance creation numbers for Julian Gressel have been very, very good.
99th percentile of expected assists. Yeah. Also, just had a second kid. Another new father, so mazel tov to him. And to
now I get to pound the table. Dave is pounding the table. Let's go, Julian and fam. Well done. Ben L, hit us up. Should the All-Star Skills Challenge include a section where everyone tries to chip Tyler Miller? It's kind of messed up.
Tough.
Kind of messed up.
Could be good practice for Tyler, though.
Yeah.
Backtracking.
Perhaps. Yeah. What do you think about Skills Challenge? What are you excited for this year? And how could it not be Goalie Wars, MLS Next Pro? Goalkeepers are going to get involved in goalie wars.
Excited to see Declan Rice. I think that'll be fun. For you.
That's
for the Arsenal fans.
That's good.
In the room.
Yeah, that's very good. Your first run out in Arsenal colors is at the Skills Challenge, Declan. Try to hit that crossbar, bro.
He's not going to be able to do it. Everyone's going to be like, wasted. 100 mil, wasted. What am I excited about? I don't know. It's just sort of like watching the guys pal around. I think that's the fun part, right? When Hani hit the crossbar, everyone like, picking him up, joking around.
The crossbar moment the first year.
Yeah. Those are normally the most fun moments. I won't be doing it before them this year, so I won't really have good perspective of how tough it is. But you never know.
Don't have people re-earthing that footage of us trying to do the...
I put up scores equal to some of the guys who did it, so I feel good about that.
That's actually not false.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have more on the All-Star game and All-Star week as it gets a little closer, but let us know what you think about the All-Star rosters. Congratulations, by the way, to Columbus and Lore.com Field. They got the 2024 event. Commissioner Don Garber, longtime MLS listener, first time mailer on the All-Star roster, was there to unveil that one. And I want to know where he should go next. So
can I just say Columbus is going to be sick?
Yeah.
Lore.com is downtown. You can walk there. Everything's around it. There's a bike path as well, so you can bike there. And the stadium's amazing. So that's going to be really, really fun. Columbus in the summer is class.
Stayed in the Hyatt on the Wiebe family road trip across to New Jersey in the parking lot.
Let's go.
I had the boys peering out the window.
Nice.
They didn't care, but I thought it was. 2025, where should we head? So new stadiums or new markets. We can plot ourselves all the way through 2031. FC Cincinnati, San Diego, Austin, St. Louis, Charlotte, Nashville, and Miami opens late 2025. So I'm saying Miami for 26. Who would you give next year after 2024 the All-Star game to? Where would you want to go?
Probably San Diego. Right? Game.
First year in San Diego?
Nashville. Nashville would be a lot of fun. That's a beautiful stadium. They still need to figure out kind of like the immediate area around the stadium, but it's a class stadium and
just
a fun town.
Just hanging out on Broadway.
I would go to Austin, I think. Oh, yeah. for some of the same reasons, because a part of it is All-Star is like not just the match, right? It's the party, and it's easy to get around, good times.
Will you carry an umbrella above me the whole time in Austin in July?
You have some bad experiences.
It's just gonna be 1,000 degrees.
Yeah.
I guess everywhere is.
It's been a little sketchy lately in
it
Texas.
Has
I don't think we can go Ohio 2 years in a row.
St. Louis needs one.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I deserves agree one.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, the point being, there's a run of about 8 years here where it's going to be a great host, great facility, great occasion every single year for the All-Star game.
Are we in favor of non-MLS market? Like random, neutral, weird site?
Like, what like would be Ottawa? Like, because you're trying to get to the capital?
Yeah.
No, we are not. I would have the Columbus All-Star ticket sold out already, because you feel like Messi is going to be there too, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
That's got to be sold out already.
Can we do Skills Challenge in Cincinnati, game in Columbus?
And just drive by the Hell is Real sign on the way?
Yeah. Yeah, the Hell is Real.
I like that. I don't mind that. Yeah, it's a little bit like a shared World Cup. We're just bouncing around to cities in Ohio.
Host cities.
Okay, Morgan Tinza hit us up and said, MLS needs to switch back to East versus West. There are way too many good players who don't get included on a roster that has less spots on it than there are teams in the league. It would also bring more meaning to the game as far as bragging rights. What are your thoughts as far as teams that didn't get an All-Star this year? Charlotte, NYCFC, Toronto, Miami, Vancouver, Orlando, Sporting Kansas City, RSL, Portland, Minnesota. Colorado hasn't had an All-Star in 6 years since Tim Howard. So, yes, there are teams.
So of the teams you just named, by the way, I believe only one is a current playoff team.
Vancouver?
Yeah.
Orlando is?
Two.
RSL is?
Three. Okay, my bad. Argument went away quickly. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, Miami, Toronto, NYC, they don't have all-stars. Right. They are the
logically,
three worst teams in the
logically
league.
So.
Yeah. Colorado, they are the worst team in Major League Soccer. They don't have an all-star. The Galaxy, unfortunately, do. That sort of throws this whole thing off.
What do you think, Kaylin?
I think she's got a point. And, you know, the one thing I would say is I remember sitting in Minnesota at the end of last year's All-Star game and talking to all you guys and saying, you know what would be cool? Like, this is really cool against Liga MX. We really like this. But the one thing that might be cool, I believe Charlie Davis with us too, was like, we're all like, oh, East versus West. I feel like now's the time. And today in the meeting,
oh no,
it's everyone against
That's a private
me.
Space.
It's everyone against me saying, this is the right format. I get it this way. And so I still would like to make the case for East versus West.
Make it. I'm with you. I'm with you. I agree.
Make it.
Where were you? Oh, you weren't in the meeting.
I wasn't there. You weren't there either, though.
I snuck in at the end.
Tom was breaking news about the East versus West All-Star game coming up next.
I don't know if this is the right space to go with like an out-of-the-box idea for the All-Star game, but wouldn't it be fun for...
where else would you...
I don't know, but I don't want...
There's no safer space than this, if MLS
hears this and takes this idea, I want 10%. This isn't going for free.
Make it known that he's pointing at the air.
Somewhere else, some executive.
There's no cameras on here. No listening devices, Tom.
This is a private hangout.
So wouldn't it be cool... Like, I think NHL does something like this, right? Where it... Let's say there's... We make it like a little 7v7 tournament. So there's four teams of like 10. And so you get 40 all-stars, and then they're playing each other in these little mini games of 7v7.
We've been talking about this for 4 years. You thought you just made this?
I'm saying a whole tournament in North Carolina on this premise,
like that, and that's what they.
No,
they should
but we've talked about
this for sure.
They need to
on ETR for years, saying it should just be pick up small-sided games. Yeah, Anders, can you open the door, please? Can you unlock? Just
security.
Everyone knows.
Goss has had his elbows out physically and literally.
Like electing the Pope, we lock ourselves in here, and then when the show is over, we burn white smoke.
So here's a crazy idea. We've already done this. It's already happened. The East versus West has already happened. It was awesome. And that, don't get me wrong, I'm hyped for... Arsenal's my team.
As a former trialist.
my boyhood club, I'm hyped. I'm going, you know, down there. I'm going to be at the match. I'm going to be all
you
around.
You and Lord Bentner or just you?
Maybe Bentner might show up.
Call,
we'll see.
Call him up.
Freddie?
Call Nicholas.
Freddie as well?
Nicky.
Freddie's definitely going to be there.
He's got to be. Anyway, I was just thinking of some funny stories, but they're probably not suitable for this. But I'm hyped about this. I'm there's no doubt about it. But on the other side, like the All-Star game, East versus West, I feel like we just went through this whole list of players that we felt should be involved or weren't involved or could they be. And like, that's the part for me where, you know, if you went East versus West, you could get more people involved. So if you go through and you say like, oh, Gressel, Wobodo, Carlos Heel, Evander, like you go down the list, there's a bunch of good players. Carranza, Gazdag, like a bunch of guys, Blake, like more players could be involved. And then on the other side, like I grew up, I went to an East-West game and I was young, 2001.
Clearly very impressionable.
I was. And I went with my boy Diego. My mom got me tickets. It was in San Jose. And I was looking back on that. It was 6-6. Landon Donovan scored 4 goals. He scored in the 3rd minute and he scored in the 93rd minute to tie it. I think it was also the year that he took off his shirt and did the Brandy Chastain sports bra thing, which now is just like every game because they've got the heart rate monitors in there. But yeah, I mean, just you go, and I was going through the looks, I was looking back at it, it was like a young Beasley. So I remember like being there and being like, oh, I think Bees has like his hair bleached. You saw like Echeverry, Preki, like all these incredible players, prime Brian McBride. And so I think about it and I'm like, oh man, it was crazy, plenty more goals.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot more attacking because I think you're like, oh, I don't want to get exposed. I don't want to get embarrassed. You're going to play a little safer at times, or this was just like pure chaos, pure mayhem. And like, I wasn't, yeah, no, this was before you knew you could do the foreign thing. So it wasn't like I was thinking like, oh, what would this look like against Real Madrid or whoever? So, but I don't know. I think there's a case for it to say we could be even more. I understand the intrigue and the attraction to it. I think tickets flew off the shelf right away. People are hyped about it. There's definitely buzz, but I feel like that would probably still carry over in a different way. And it would get more players involved. And I don't know. I'm just really intrigued by it. It's like the thing going back to your roots a little bit. I just think it would be just pure fun.
If we could add to that, instead of it being sort of a, okay, you're going to play MLS games at the weekend, then come into an All-Star game on a Wednesday, and then you're back playing it this weekend, I would want to see an MLS East versus West almost be like, here's a week. Like, there is time. Everybody come out. Like, if you didn't, you know, like, parties, gatherings, events,
yeah,
like, all these different, like, let's
that
make
would
a
be
league,
tough, though.
Let's make it like a league. I know, it's tough.
That's going to be tough.
Let's make it like a place where everybody, like, it doesn't have to be current players either. Former players come. Just like a community gathering spot where there are all these things to
I have
do
seen that grow more.
See and be yeah. seen and all that stuff.
I feel like that has grown more where
and
you
I think
see,
it's going to be big this year because DC yeah. is such
it's
a
easy
like,
to get to. Yeah, there's a lot of existing players in that market. Like, I think that even in Minnesota, like going to some of the parties, Tony Sonic threw a party. There's a bunch of people throwing parties. So that was fun. I feel like that part has grown, but it is difficult to squeeze in because it's just like, you know, I think it would really grow if you could get current players to be able to go to All-Star, where you see maybe NBA All-Star weekend, their schedule is different, but to be able to like show up to the parties, and I think fans want to go because they can see, you know, maybe access some of these yeah. players they don't always
see.
Give
me a red carpet, you know yeah. what I mean?
I think that would be cool, but that seems kind of like a pipe dream just because the way the schedule goes, but East versus West seems like a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Anyway, let us know what you think. Should be a good time. Saw the jerseys come out. As I said, I make a habit of collecting, you know, if a jersey with an MLS crest on it, you know, that's made for me. So it's my thing. Transfer time. We are not going to be here on Monday because that is the back end of the holiday weekend with July 4th. We will be with our families or whatever we're doing.
Shout out to Canada Day. When is Canada Day?
That's shout out to Canada.
July 1st.
Hey!
We will not be here because of celebrating Canada Day.
Exactly. From our dual capitals in Ottawa and Washington, D.C. Big signing in almost Canada, Minnesota United. Signed Teemu Pukki to a designated player contract through June 25 with an option through December 25. So a two-year deal, that becomes a two-and-a-half-year deal, you would assume, unless things are just going extremely poorly. Here's what Adrian Heath had to say. I feel as we have gotten the goal scorer that we've been craving ever since Christian Ramirez left. He's a gold standard proven goal scorer. Christian Ramirez
did he leave or did they trade him?
Benched LAFC. And then traded yeah. because they kept trying to sign DPs that didn't work out.
And then he went, got traded again to Houston, yep. and then he came back. So it's borderline like you could just have Christian Ramirez.
Yeah.
That's the gold standard.
To be fair,
yeah,
with the million in GAM that they got for Christian Ramirez, I believe some of that was used to, I think it was used to get Ike Opara from Kansas City.
Okay.
Sure.
So that's a useful thing, but also it's just an interesting quote. It's like one of those things you're just like, oh, okay.
Adrian Heath has some of the best press release quotes. They're like most of
this was a press release.
Yeah, no, and like
they're so sanitized normally.
Yeah, so yeah. like it. I respect him, Minnesota, for letting him like actually say things that are interesting. Like there was, I forget. Like I think he cursed in one where they just put it up anyway. It was like it was. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on this show, so I'm not getting. But no, it was no. just like
don't make more work for Anders.
But it was yeah, it was just calling somebody that somebody who was tough and like it was like oh that's I've never seen that in a press. That's awesome. So I give them credit for that.
How do we think this is going to go? Teemu Pukki. Crazy goal scoring numbers for Norwich, you know, in the championship especially. Double digits in the Premier League. Last year suffered a number of injuries and I think just barely hit double digits.
Yeah.
How's it going to go, Div?
I'm the Pukki guy?
Yeah. Yeah, you're the party guy.
Yeah, yeah. I get the idea behind it. Minnesota are currently outside the playoffs in the West, but they're fifth in expected goals created. So in their mind, they're looking for a pure finisher in what you just described. For Norwich, especially the way Norwich has played at times over the last 5 years when he's been there, has been like he hangs off the last man. He floats to the far post, pullbacks. Not a ton of chance creation, yet he finds his goals and he understands his movement in the box. So I understand the thought process there. We talked 2-3 weeks ago, what would you do with Reynoso? And in my mind, I think you sell him. And I think if you're selling him, signing a 33-year-old DP with probably no sell-on at that position in his style, I don't think totally makes sense. But it definitely makes them better tomorrow, and it gives them a better chance to win something this year.
I missed this conversation on Monday, but I was listening. I think you'd be crazy to sell Reynoso. You just can't find players like that. And what you would have to pay to get him in, figure it out, and you've built this whole system around him. Even just since he's come back into the team, I feel like the team is already showing, even the other signings they've made look better. Son Ben-jeong had the assist to Reynoso in this last match where he's, you know, getting to the end line, He's got more space. Even just the amount of respect that RSL gave Reynoso, like they didn't want to get close to him because they were like, oh, he could hurt me. So that allows other players to progress, to move forward in the attack. So I think more and more, some of the other signings are going to look better. Hopefully they can get back Robin Ludd, who's an international teammate of Timo Pukki. So they would know each other and have been able to at least talk to Robin about what he would be
Minnesota
like as a player. Yeah, I think it fits the profile of like Minnesota is probably not going to go. Maybe, I don't know. They got Reynoso as Argentine, but I think it's more difficult probably for them to go out to the market and get maybe more of the flashy big name signings or whatever. So as far as like, if you look at a lot of the international teams these players play for, it's like, you know, New Zealand, Finland, you know, South Africa, like players that are tab quality.
Mender Garcia, they signed Darwin Quintero back in the day. Like they signed Amaria, right?
Yeah, I think this fits kind of the profile of the types of stars that they've brought in or players that they've brought in. And I think also just that finishing, like if you have those other pieces around it and then you just get that poacher in the box, that's what it seems like Pukki is. So, but I feel like if you were to tell me Reynoso came out of the team, I'd be like, oh, I don't know if Pukki is the one. 33 years old. Mm-hmm. So that's like, I still think that's a good signing age. If you think of like Robbie Keane, I think came at 32 in the past. I don't know if he has Robbie Keane goals in him, but I mean, or maybe the quality outside the box, but I think the age part doesn't really concern me as much, especially for where this team is and I guess where their ambitions are. If they can get this right in Reynoso's second half, I think they can push up probably still middle of the table of Western Conference but right now they're on the outside looking in.
Yeah, they are. They're below the playoff line. This is a good signing. Like Pukki's going to score goals if he gets opportunities. Like even for those Norwich teams, they got relegated immediately in both of those seasons that they were in the Premier League, and they weren't exactly creating many chances or attacking very much. He still got double digit goals in each of those seasons. Like Josh Sargent, I think, scored twice in the year that they played together in the Premier League. I mean, to be fair, Sargent was playing a lot of right wing, which was more so right wing back for them. But again, like it's not easy to score goals. Like he will score goals with the chances. He fits in a 4-2-3-1. He fits with the pieces around him. And what they needed more than anything else was consistent, somebody who can finish the chances. So now with Reynoso back, like I think that this team has a lot of room to grow. Obviously, because they're kind of further down the table. But yeah, it's a really good sign to me. And Kayla and I agree with you. Like, I think it's a false premise that they would think about selling Reynoso kind of immediately. Like, yeah, like this player is brought in to fit with Emmanuel Reynoso. And again, I think that's a really good signing. They tried to aim like a little bit higher for Cho Gwae-sung, the South Korean international. In the winter, they had like a 5 or 6 million bid that I think that it was accepted by the club, but the player ended up not wanting to go. He still hasn't left South Korea. I think he was aiming for Europe. But like, when those deals didn't happen, I think this was like a pretty safe, really strong, no transfer fee. Like, I don't know. I think it was a really good signing.
By the way, Minnesota United, second in the league in goal underperformance compared to XG. So fifth in creation, but they have fifth in the West. Either way, missed out on almost 10 goals through poor finishing. I mean, that goes up and down the entire roster. Nwane is one of the main contributors to that stat, but there's nobody who's covering themselves in glory. The flip side that we do have to discuss here is that this is just the latest in a long line of failed forward signings.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want to say Pukki is going to be a failed forward signing. I think he has the best profile of all the signings.
Well, he's the most have made. He's the most guaranteed. Actually
proven.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones were sort of like, oh, well, jump up to this level or like, just, you know,
even go through them. Angelo Rodriguez did not have a good goal scoring record in South America. Adrian Hounou did not have a good goal scoring record in France. And it was like, oh, you're going to get to play center forward. And that's where you're going to play. Like you said, just Amaria didn't have a strong goal scoring record outside, I think, of Paraguay. So Timu Pukki is the one who was like, OK, look at his resume. In the championship, he was scoring 25 to 30 goals in those seasons until this year. Like, this is the best profile and pedigree that they've gotten. So I think that it's, you know, it is fair to look at the track record, but again, I think that this is different than all of those signings.
Champo, mate. Yes.
I was going to make a Jay Simpson joke.
Yeah.
I was, think of one.
I was trying not to. Like, I was like, don't say it. And then it just got really quiet. And I
can myself. Can I just on the back of this, the Reynoso thing, at most, he can play 16 games this year in MLS? Like, at most.
Can you, but on your selling side, wouldn't this be the wrong time to sell him? Like, shouldn't you try to play him?
No, the wrong time to sell him would be if this happens again next year and you're trying to sell him when he's not with your team. And I'm not saying sell him right now because I don't think you could. I think you'd have to sell him after the season, in the next offseason. But 2 months ago, if they could sell him for anything, they would have. So you're just going to look at it and say, oh, no, now we're good. You're going to put yourself back into that situation. And then with Pookie, again, I think everything you guys said was right, but there is no sell on there, right? He's 33, 34. Like, this is it. And they didn't pay a transfer fee, which is great. They're paying a pretty big contract, we think, because
you'd assume
they didn't pay a transfer fee and he was available to everyone in the world. So that's just what I think is the danger, which is 2 months ago, you were doing anything you could to sort of get out of this whole situation. And now it's like you've leaned further into it.
Okay, but Tom would know better than me, but would you imagine Reynoso's value isn't exactly sky high right now either?
No, yeah, it's not even close, but it's more than nothing.
So the value, but I think if you're just looking at that equation, the value of him on your team versus trying to take him to the market, it's just like a simple equation. And then it's like, what's the cost to replace him as well?
All of that is true.
And
it's
no
not
guarantee
ideal
that you get someone of anywhere close.
You probably won't get someone talent of equal quality.
Like, this dude was gone for months. I don't even remember. 6 months, whatever it was. Yeah. He walked back into the team, immediately improved their team, and changed, like, has changed the
but
way they
play.
But
would you rather have someone as a worse player play 34 games and be there for preseason than potentially, if this happens again, you have a DP spot locked up in him or you have to buy him out? So if you have any ability to sell this player, any ability, because he's on the field and he is good, then I think you take advantage of that moment.
I understand what you're saying about the future risk. I would defer to Minnesota because they're the ones dealing
with
the situation, right? And I don't know what that, you know, maybe they're looking at it and saying, that's not going to happen again. We know it's not going to happen again.
Well, you never know, but you weren't expecting him to come. I wasn't expecting him to come back. Like, once he was gone, it felt like the coming back part is significant. And then it's about getting the best out of him. Can he get settled? And then it starts to be, I would imagine there'd be a lot earlier conversations or a different conversation about, all right, we're heading towards an off season. How do we, and this, you know, to be fair, not to this degree, but this type of issue as far as players going home and what they might face around those environments or, you know, the personal issues or whatever it is. We see, I've been on plenty of teams where somebody doesn't come back for preseason. That part is like not totally.
Really?
Sometimes it's like.
That's wild.
Sometimes it's like, okay, well, yeah, there's a visa issue or whatever it is. And you're kind of
we saw with Gustavo.
Right? Like, no, yeah. All right. But this was like, it just kept going and going and going. So yeah, trying to skip like fitness tests is just elite designated player behavior. Like, that's important.
That's a Cuauhtemoc Blanco.
But no, not Cuau, actually. No, because those preseason matches were tied to revenue and the tours to Mexico and all that. But
Chad Barrett's like, I can't get my visa sorted. I can't get to preseason.
What I will say, the math for Reynoso is, you know, you're talking about the math for Minnesota, but for him too, like, you know, this is his career at stake as well.
100%.
So he's has to be
invested.
I'm not saying
any of
this
is
cut
and dry.
Otherwise it might be like poof, gone.
Yeah, none of this is cut and dry. None of this is clean. But once again, this is a league in which you cannot afford to not have DPs on the field. Inter Miami is the worst team in Major League Soccer because they're missing DPs.
Well, Rapids are the, I would
fair. Well, they don't have any, correct, which is different. Correct. But like, if you put that amount of money into a player and they are not on the field for you, you are already behind when you start every game. And if that happens to you again on a guy who has a deal through 2025, like, you're in a tough spot.
16 games. Well, not 16. How many would it be with Pookie? Because the transfer window will open.
July 3rd.
Yeah. So July 5th. I think 5th. Yeah.
July 5th. That's a good date, too.
Let's just say July 5th. Okay. So he's going to have two more. 14 games with Pookie. Nope. My math. We're just really butchering that
things
one.
Things are going well.
Doesn't matter.
15 he's games. Over under in his goals. How many goals?
Just set a number.
I send you.
6.5.
I go over. Yeah. I think the number would have to be close to 8.5, 9.5.
Okay. Do that.
Okay.
Nick says, what about if Albert Elias came back and went to Minnesota? That'd be decent. I'm just going to ask you guys where you would send Albert Elias because he's not going to Minnesota. They would need a DP spot. Mm-hmm. So where would you send him?
Atlanta.
Huh?
Goal-scoring winger, but you could get him
MLS
space.
Proven in his prime?
Yeah. It sort of fits what Garth has done with some of his DP spots in the past. So that's the first one that comes to mind.
This one might pain my Dynamo fans, but Dallas.
Yeah.
I could see they need help around Jesus Ferreira and an elite winger like that. You get Areola back, you put them on either side.
And then Velasco through the middle.
Yeah.
And you could play Elise at center forward sometimes. Like, you could move pretty much all of them around those spots.
I think that's my favorite destination. I like that.
Yeah.
Could Houston?
Well, they don't have the space or money.
Yeah, but you get rid of Sebastian Ferreira and you do.
Yeah, then you could.
Yeah. The other one would be Nashville, which would be interesting because I think you'd still probably play the 4-4-2 diamond with Hani at the point, Elise next to another forward. So, like, he probably replaces Fafa in that starting lineup more than replacing Ateal or whoever else is playing that second forward, because he's not like a hold-up guy, but a transitional team. Him creating chances, space that he creates for Hani, space that Hani creates for him.
Think about what if Vancouver had signed Albert Elise instead of Sergio Cordova.
I'm leaving. Incredible. That's so annoying.
I'm just saying.
Get
just
out of here. He's not even coming to MLS.
He could.
Last year, LAFC were in advanced talks to sign him, and then didn't happen.
But then he went to Ligue 1,
right? I need to ask people about that again.
Tom with the phone to the camera being like, I'm calling you. You know who I'm calling.
Would he work for New York City? Because we've sort of... No.
No, because they have how many players do they have? It's this like winger tennis.
Well, he would be more of a Tati-esque forward. Where
I don't know. I like him as like
more of a
second forward if he's playing through the center.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't think that's the best fit.
Yeah, just an interesting question that was sent our way. Tom, you have some reporting to do. Speaking of your phone, pick it back up. The Revs are signing a winger from Racing.
They're in advanced talks. Nothing's done yet. Nothing's signed. But there's a lot of agreements reached for to sign Racing winger Tomas Chancalay. I hope I didn't
look at me.
So the Revs have, like I've been saying on the show for a while, that they've been looking for a winger. He's a 24-year-old. He was playing in the United Arab Emirates on loan last year. He had 8 goals and 5 assists. He looks like a real talent. He can play on either side of the wing, either side of the field. He played through the center a little bit in the United Arab Emirates. This would be a pretty significant signing. It'd be, if the deal gets done, it'd be a loan right now with a purchase option in the winter. And the assumption is if they picked up the purchase option, he would turn into a DP, which wouldn't be a problem because they'll have flexibility in the winter. Gustavo Bo's contract's coming up. So this would be a pretty significant piece if they're able to get it over the line. Like, they're close, but again, nothing is done or signed yet.
Interesting. That would certainly elevate them.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good time to do a quick conversation about what teams could be elevated the most in the summer, because we won't be around when the transfer window opens. So what's the team? One signing, a profile, not a specific player. You give them that piece, and they make a huge jump, Kalen.
I'm actually going to go back. You tried to throw out the NYCFC shout, but I feel like NYCFC in that number 9 position is the one for me. I think they have had a rash of injuries. Thiago Martins going out. I think it's fair to be critical that, especially with that scouting network, that they haven't gone out there and spent money to replace the players that they lost. You keep going down the list. It's almost hard to keep track, but it's Collins, Sean Johnson, Maxi Morales. You go Tati up top, Eber, who was behind him, Thiago Andrade left mid-season back to Brazil. You just continue to go down and down. Then they brought players back. Credit to them. They brought Sands back. They brought Santi Rodriguez. Ledesma comes in. Those are nice pieces, but they've played a bunch of people out of position, I think partly because of the injuries and absences, but then mostly because those signings didn't come in. And that's where you have to break one piece of the car to fix the next, and James Sands is suddenly playing somewhere else, and you've got when it was actually starting to click, you could see it beginning where it's like Sands, Parks, in the middle of the park, like that works, and Santi Rodriguez comes in. That's now the Maxi. He needs to take a step forward. Then you have Gabby Pereira, like taking steps forward, but playing out, you know, played this Magno thing up top. Like,
that's been my biggest disappointment, is he was on a trajectory where he looked like he could be the best winger in Major League Soccer. And then it feels like he's just gotten really quiet. Gabby Pereira has been a bright spot, but it's not enough. They don't create enough chances. They don't have a finisher to finish the chances they do create.
I think they need depth at center back position for sure. Like or another top end talent there. So it's not just one signing, but if you gave me just one piece to choose from, maybe about any team in the league, I would say the number 9 position for them would be the one. And I would say if you had, to their credit, if you gave me anybody to bank on making a good signing to go out to the market and find somebody that could change the trajectory of a season, I would also say NYCFC is in the best position to do that.
I think that's why I'm disappointed too. Like, they're a very well-run organization in terms of scouting and acquisition. Sporting director David Lee's done, I thought, really, really well, because I think when we talk about this team, we talk about City Football Group and everything, but David Lee has been a really underrated sporting director in this league. So it's disappointing that we were all talking about this all offseason, how obvious it is that they needed a center forward. They need a center forward. Oh no, like Talos Magno maybe, or Santi Rodriguez, or whoever can play false nine. Like, I think that's why it's even more disappointing, because it was so obvious.
I just didn't like him using a car analogy when talking about NYCFC. So I think a better analogy would be like, you're short on trains on the 4-5, so you slide a 2-3 over there. Now you're short on the 2-3, so you slide a 1 onto the 2-3 line. Now you got to run extra C trains off the BD potentially, and like your whole system just falls
behind. Let's say you've been deferring maintenance for years.
Yeah.
You haven't been bringing money to the system.
Well, I'm just saying there are other analogies you could use besides a car analogy driving up to the Bronx.
All right. All right. What's your team, Dave? Team and position.
So I like the Albert Elise, the Dallas one, because mine was Dallas as a 10 or an 8. Because I don't think it's 100% that it has to be a 10. I think if you brought in an elite 6, sorry, not 8. If you brought in an elite 6, you give enough coverage that you can push more numbers into the attack as 2-8s. And the number overloads you can create, I think, still covers, yeah, maybe Paxton and Sebastian Legette are not elite chance creators, but if they can create overloads and make runs and have that freedom, I think they could do that. It feels like for Dallas coming into the year, center back was a question mark. I think they've proven that Tafari is where they thought he could be, and Martinez and Ibiaga can fill that other spot. And I was asking you about Justin Che before, because his loan's up. He's probably not a center back. He's probably a right back. We still don't know. He doesn't seem like he wants to play for FC, but whatever. He's going to be there for a minute. Maybe that happens. So I just think having an elite center mid to just add to what they have, because this is a team, you don't have the DP spot filled. So it's not, well, what are you taking out to bring this in? It's pure just addition to a team that I think is on the cusp of being a top three team in the Western Conference.
I like it. I'm going to go Atlanta, and I'm going to stick with your 6. Could be an 8, but I think probably a 6. Atlanta United, man, you watch that game against the Red Bulls, it's so naive. So many just ill-advised passes into pressure or blind passes upfield. It's been the story all year. They just give the ball away in bad positions every game and defend while running backward and get punished for it. I look at how Garth has built teams in the past, whether, you know, any team he's had, whether it was a Beckerman, whether to go out and sign Jao Paulo, you know, Ozzie as well. Like, you need that player in Major League Soccer. And I think that's a missing spot for them, and they have an open DP spot.
They have Ozzie.
Yeah, that's, really that's a good point. But the next Ozzie.
I was looking up how many goals they'd conceded. I think they might be number one in the league now.
Over Charlotte? It was like neck and neck.
I think it was neck and neck, but
they're tied right now. They're tied.
Four dropped on their head at Red Bull Arena by the lowest scoring team in the entire league. Bunch of first goal scorers.
Red Bull had 13 goals coming into that match, scored 4 on the day. So basically a third of their season goal production in one match.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I would say that they could make a huge leap there. We don't know how long Amada is going to be there. I hope they're the end of the year, just for my own entertainment's sake. But if you were to sign that player in the summer, like if you got a Jao Paulo S player, like they could go win MLS Cup.
Let me solve both your problems right here. Alfredo Morales from Miguel Berry, straight up. You get a 9.
That's not my problem. I mean,
You get Miguel Berry. You get a center forward in New York. You get a center mid in Atlanta. Who says no?
No offense, we're talking designated players here.
Yeah,
I still think it makes both those teams better. So uninterested.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I understand the concept. I'm dreaming about a little bit more. I'm dreaming just about a little bit more. All right, Tom, what's a team in a need?
The most realistic is Nashville signing a DP9. Again, I know that they've got a lot of goals from Hani. It's not like that's been an issue this year, but just having a running mate for Hani Mukhtar and having a number 9 come in to elevate this team, like you guys have said, for all these other teams, like it's just additive. It's taking what you already have and hopefully bringing in a DP that hits. So yeah, for me, that'd be the team.
How do you think they're thinking about that particular signing, the profile, price tag? What are they trying to do?
My assumption would probably be an in-prime kind of 9. And, you know, Gary Smith likes a target man style center forward. I think there's been, like, that's part of the reason why Ake Loba didn't work. He would not play Ake Loba and Hani Mukhtar together up top. The rare times that they played together, there had to also be another center forward on. That he was playing Yonder Cadiz ahead of Ake Loba, even though it was clear Yonder Cadiz, his loan was going to expire and not have the purchase option pick up right after they brought in Ake Loba for $6.5 to $7 million. Like, so it's got to be kind of a player like that in that mold. So that'd be my assumption. Again, they haven't. The one thing that Gary Smith has done a phenomenal job, I think, with Nashville. The one thing that he hasn't done is kind of bring along young players. So that's why I'm assuming it's got to be an in-prime player and like a target man type.
Let's talk about a target man, Brandon Vasquez. Our boy, Michele Giannone, reporting, and this has sort of been out there a while, I think, as well. But Michele getting the conversation reheated. Borussia Mönchengladbach wanted Brandon Vasquez as Terim's replacement this summer. Flew to Cincinnati to watch him. Even went to his house to present the team project, tweeted Michele. Personal terms agreed. Offer sent. All for Cincy. Said no sale this summer against Vasquez's wishes. Understandably
so. So many pronunciations in the course of that.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Well done.
You did not hit Taram at all. No, I was like, really who? And
yeah, it was like a little speed bump.
Yeah. We hit a speed bump on the highway.
Was that a curb?
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, man.
What do you think? And people are hitting us up. Some people saying that Cincinnati are holding Brandon Vasquez hostage. A lot of people are very frustrated that Cincinnati aren't just
Brandon Vasquez
scrambling to sell.
Like Nashville and New England supporters, or are they actually Cincinnati fans?
That's a fair point.
I don't understand the outrage.
Free Brandon.
I don't understand what's like. Again, like this is all like the Mönchengladbach interest and offers and stuff has been out there. Like we've been talking about it in this show, it's been widely known that the Cincinnati are not going to let Brandon Vasquez go this summer. Vasquez himself told ESPN, he was like, yeah, I get it. Like they lost Brenner. Like, of course, Cincinnati aren't looking to get rid of a starting center forward amid this shield run, like an MLS Cup ready team while they already sold Brenner this summer. When they signed Brandon Vasquez to a contract last August, we're not even a year into his new contract. Like, I think that this is just normal business. I'm not sure why. Like, they're not, like, holding him back. Like, they've been working with him and said, yeah, one day we'll help you get to Europe. But, like, it's got to be something that makes sense for everybody. Like, it would be, you know, malpractice if they let him go right now without kind of a replacement. And again, he's not a DP, so it's even more difficult to replace a player. He's somebody who had 18 goals last year, and he's a non-DP player. Like, this is, I don't know, it's a non-starter for me. And I don't know, like, it's not that complicated.
But isn't it complicated by Vasquez's desires? Because it says next, player's desires to go. Is to go.
Yeah, but he's not the first person to think that. And like, if it was desperate, I want to leave at all costs, don't sign the contract. Yeah,
he shouldn't have signed a new contract.
And but
right?
Like, and that, but that's not even like the Michele is awesome. And I hope this doesn't sound like I'm saying anything to disagree with him. Like, from my understanding, the relationship between Vasquez and the club is really, really good. Like, there's nothing wrong here. Like, the case with Brenner wasn't quite like that. Brandon Vasquez, he said he understands why it's not going to happen. It's, you know, the agent's job to try to push and try to explore it. But, like, I don't know. I think that everybody just understands that this is a situation. This is the reality.
Okay, but that's the part that's frustrating for me at some point, because it's generally the person who doesn't handle things well that gets the move.
Yeah.
And it just goes to with kind of across the board where, you know, I don't know. I feel like I was naive at times coming into MLS where I was like, you're not getting, even if it's just coming down to playing time and you're like, you know what? The manager didn't play me. I'm going to train harder tomorrow. And it's like, I think that's a part of my character. That's the way I approach the game. That's just natural. But also you have to play the other side and you have to be in there advocating for yourself. And that's what it seems like is happening. So it's always a negotiation to say whether I want to move, when the move comes, but it's generally the nightmare that gets the move first. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I know Brenner was a nightmare or not. It did sound like reports coming out where that he was, you know,
less than
in
ideal.
Brazil.
To deal with the Brandon Vasquez.
I think he had a preseason. I mean, I think he had some family stuff going on too, maybe. But I think, you know, I don't want to go too far into that because I don't know what the situation was. But I would say that there is that negotiation always within a team. And sometimes being the nice guy doesn't always get you what you want when you want it. And that's just an observation more than like a commentary. And I do think overall for clubs, MLS is having MLS, the job of an MLS manager, front office, you know, sporting director, all that is about managing more and more of this. Because after this, it's going to be Barrial, right? It's not just going to be one or the other. And you have to figure out how in these windows you can keep your team, because there's pressure on you to sell the player from the player's perspective. There's pressure on you from the ownership to win a cup, to lift a shield. How many chances do you get to do that? The windows are getting tighter with the amount of talent that's in here and the profile of talent where it's like, we're going to go abroad. We're going to sell players. We're going to move players. We've seen Philadelphia have to try to deal with this with moving players on. We've seen New England go through selling a bunch of their players at once and then just crashing, and now they come back. So it's become a like an extra part of managing the roster that is complicated. It sounds like this move's going to happen. But also, I don't know, Tom, it sounds like there's also in the next window teams want to spend now, right? Because that's a part of what their goals are.
Yeah, and like so Gladbach in particular, they're losing Marcus Thuram right now. Like he's already left. Like they want a starting center forward.
Is this I said that again?
Did I get it right? Starting center, like it's different when it's
Noel Brandon Vasquez really being brought in to start for Gladbach on day one.
Why else would you bring in a 24-year-old, 25-year-old center forward and spend $7 to $10 million or whatever it costs, right? But Before I let you go, guys, just like the thing we talk about transfer and you know, winning a deal and turning a profit or buying a player for $2 million and selling them, you know, developing all this stuff. Like that's all great. But what are we here for? Are we here to win games and trophies, or are we here to raise a transfer spend banner?
Well,
right?
That's the complication that Galen was talking about, is it's ultimately it's both. And the teams that succeed the most will find a way to do the tap dance between the two and somehow marry them.
Yeah, but, so that's why it's like whether his value is the air quote the highest right now, like who cares? This team is chasing trophies. And again, like all of the other context around it is you just signed a new contract. You understand why we're not going to lose both of our star center forwards in the same window. All of the other context. So like if the only reason is, well, his value's high, or well, somebody finally came up and like wanted to sign him, like that's not enough. There needs to be a confluence of other factors. And again, we're here to win trophies. Like the fans are coming to have a star on their shirt and a Brandon Vasquez jersey, not a Brandon Vasquez plus 7.5 on the back of their shirt. Like great, like we got more dividends for shareholders. Like what are we doing here? Like we're about trophies. Like again, the business side of it and the development side, all that is important, but it needs to be in check because winning is the most important. Sorry, guys, I keep cutting you off.
No, I don't have anything else to say.
The nice thing for Brandon Vasquez,
I'm easy. You guys are the ones who are difficult in this setting, so you guys are getting your moves. I'm just laid back and I'm chill. But I will say,
him playing with Bupenza could lead to a better second half of the season than he's having
now. He only has 4 goals. The other thing is, as a player, having a club behind you that you're connected to positively makes your career easier. Like I think we've seen this from especially American and Canadian players have gone overseas, of like something goes wrong, to have Cincinnati say, yeah, we want to loan you back because you need rehab time. Or when you, if you choose to come back to MLS, have a positive relationship with that club. I think Brandon Vasquez deserves to be in the U.S. men's national team pool. But I think we all know that Chris Albright and Pat Noonan have been banging on U.S. soccer's door for a year now saying, give him that chance. And I think it's helped Matt Miazga get back into the team, and I think it's helped Vasquez have that support. So I think there are positives with being a part of that team. And if the only thing he wanted was to go play in Europe, then you shouldn't have signed another long-term contract. You should have played out your deal and said, I'm going to take that risk and go do this. So if the worst thing that happens to you is you have to be the best team in the league and win a trophy and earn your spot in the national team through playing in MLS and scoring goals, I don't think it's the worst thing. And on the free him thing, I think that term can only come when, like, you're being ridiculous of, like, yeah, $25 million doesn't matter. Like, no way we'll sell him.
Yeah.
The deal clearly is not blowing anyone out of the water that you're making the deal, where it's like somehow Cincinnati put their head in the sand and is ignoring reality.
Yeah. No, there used to be a time where it was like, free him. Like, hey, let him go. Please let him. Like, you had to be with the national team, not just like around the national team. You had to be the like main person to get a move.
Shalrie Joseph's the Celtic.
It's just it's really difficult to get. It used to be, and now I think teams, you're seeing the shift. But this also comes with, and Cincinnati have proven they will sell. Like I don't think they're like, oh, we're absolutely not going to do this. They're just trying to figure out the timing right. But it is a tricky balance.
Exactly.
Would like to see both happen.
Yes.
I'd like to see Cincinnati's project come to fruition with Brandon Vasquez a part of it. And if they do, if they go win MLS Cup and he scores a ton of goals, I have a hard time believing there won't be an opportunity in the winter or even next summer that could work out as well.
It just might not be Mönchengladbach.
You just never know. Just never know. I mean, these things change and can change quickly. Okay, let's talk quickly, Austin. So there's some news there. Football Critic hit us up and said, definitely got to talk about Rodolfo Borrell to Austin FC as the new sporting director. I was like, wait, what? Then I checked out Fabrizio Romano's feed here. All right, Tom.
Tom!
He reported it first.
Who said that the Man City's Rodolfo Borrell set to sign with Austin as their sporting director? He's been with Man City for 9 seasons with Barca. Before that, was Pep Guardiola's top assistant and has done a ton of stuff on the sort of academy and technical director side, like talent development. Multi-year deal, says Fab, to Austin. This seems like, one, fascinating and potentially awesome.
Yeah. I had somebody in the front office at another club who I respect a lot after I confirmed the reports and put that out there.
Sorry. Should have included that.
Yeah. Who like went out of his way to say like, yo, like this is a really great hire. Like that, like I this guy's really smart. He's good at what he does. He works hard. Like that was really good by Austin. And again, that doesn't happen all the time where you just get a text out of nowhere. Like sometimes you have to ask people what they think. But so I think somebody coming to me and being like, yeah, like that was a great hire. I think that speaks volumes.
It seems like Austin has the MLS side in place of like the Diego Fagundes move, going out and getting Giassi in the offseason, trading for John Gallagher. It feels like that side of things has worked for them. Obviously, Rigoni hasn't worked out the way you'd like. Valencia, some of those other pieces. So I think I can understand having someone come in who you think is smart and but has their connections outside of MLS, where you say, like, we sort of feel internally between Josh Wolf and our front office that we have a good gauge on quality players inside of MLS as well, where for some clubs I would worry. Like, where are you going to lean on now? Where, like, no offense, I don't know that Austin's signing the same players as Man City. That's just like a curveball from me. I don't know that they're throwing $100 million out there to not sign Declan Rice. So it's a difference, but I think this is a club that's set up in a pretty good spot to sort of be able to take someone on like this and have him lead things. And you talk about youth stuff. Like
that's what I was going to say.
We're talking Austin. We're talking Austin, San Antonio. We're talking El Paso.
The whole state of Texas, basically. Yeah.
And they're, as every MLS team, pulling players from Colorado and San Diego and Michigan and wherever else as well.
There is something too about, it made me think about just like being overqualified, where you're like, oh yeah, Kovacic is a good player. I rate him. Yeah. You know, and like,
congratulations, guys started like 3 World Cup finals in the last 6 years.
But no, I think you're right. If you have the infrastructure that understands this, then you're able to bring someone with the experience of somebody from Man City or has been, I think he was at Barcelona youth academies and Liverpool as well. So you're able to bring someone like that to your club. That's a good thing to do.
To me, there's development on a lot of different fronts here. One is the academy side you were talking about. He has a ton of experience there, building out a structure below the first team that leads to first team players down the line, which is something that we haven't seen a ton from Austin. They're new. I understand that, but that's why you go get a guy like that. I think if I was Josh Wolf, I would be ecstatic as well, just in a coaching development point of a guy who's worked with Pep Guardiola intimately for many years. Not to say he's going to come in and like whiteboard Josh Wolf, but just to have another brain to go pick who can say, hey, here's what I see. Here's what I've seen in the past. Here's what I've learned. Here are the things that worked for us at Man City or Barcelona.
What? How many cities? What cap is that in?
Whatever the biggest one in Google Docs is.
Well, the counter to that would be, I might be a little bit worried that a new decision makers coming in, yeah. And usually when that happens, they want to make their own choices and their own coaches. So I might be a little bit worried about that.
Yeah, that's
maybe fair. He should learn Catalan.
That's fair, but also that's also
Adam Silver.
That's also the business, right? Like you got to win to keep your job. That's just
I agree.
Yeah.
Does some of that go to what you were talking about on Monday about the sporting director and manager conversation?
Yeah. No, I think having this is sort of what you would say would be sort of a decision along modern organizational fronts of how do you set up your club to have people with different skill sets, different expertises, and have a hierarchy. Now, do we know exactly what the hierarchy is here?
Like, you know, he'll be the sporting director, and then Sean Rubio, I believe was he technical director or whatever. I think Sean Rubio would be their number two. He came from Toronto, and he's been the interim since Claudio Reyna.
Gotcha.
The side.
He's currently interim sporting director, but he's director of player personnel.
Yeah. So whatever the terms are that every team has their own.
Sorry, Sean. I didn't know that off the top of my head.
Sean Rubio will be the number two. Gotcha.
And Josh will be in a separate vertical under this new sporting director. You're not sure.
Yeah. Wouldn't they all be in the same vertical?
Tom.
Not always.
We need all the HR answers here, Tom. What is the masthead?
Yeah. Well, sometimes those verticals feed into a president or into ownership.
Right.
Right.
Like separately, not together, which is a mess of a way to do it.
Oh, congratulations, by the way, to Jason Hernandez.
Yes.
The new Toronto FC general manager.
Yeah.
A legend in this league. One of the guys that helped build things and was on some of those really good Toronto FC teams as sort of a veteran to lead the way. And now is the general
manager. Goonies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited for him to kind of have the chance to lead this sporting structure. I think the first thing on Jason Hernandez's plate should be to hire some more Jason Hernandezes, because I don't know if they have really anybody left around that. Like,
they're like, Jason, you're in charge. Just go tell your team what to do. He turns around. It's just an empty room.
Just a mirror. Yeah. All right, guys. Like, here's what we got
to
do.
Your counterpoint, not a lot of long discussions. You can just make decisions and do things. Not too many cooks in the kitchen. Yeah. But no, yeah, I'm pretty excited for Jason Hernandez to get that chance and see what changes happens in Toronto or like the roof.
Toronto playing for...
You got, oh my God, what? Toronto. I just thought about Toronto again. Diamande. There's no way Diamande is on the roster in 2 months, right?
Well, he's got a guaranteed contract.
Oh my God.
Well, so hey, you got to focus on League's Cup because the league is pretty far.
True. There we go.
Out of reach here. That is a transition, folks. And we're now talking about League's Cup, which is coming up after the All-Star game. We're going to start previewing it, get some folks on to tell us about the Liga MX teams to prepare us for the matchups and the groups and really dig in here after we get a little bit more. A little closer and have a little bit more breathing time to do it. But I do want to ask this question to you guys. Which teams should prioritize League's Cup? Like, which teams right now should be planning ahead to say to themselves, we're going to come out of an All-Star break and we're going to come out firing?
I mean, not to be a cop-out here, but all of them should. Like, there is no overlap between other fixtures. So, like, it'd be odd for just a month to not care about two group stage games. I think that, like, it's probably a bad answer, not great for a podcast, but I think all teams should be taking this very seriously.
I like that answer.
It feels like Tom didn't take the question seriously and didn't give us good content, so you didn't take it seriously.
It's a little bit like a cop out.
Yeah. Should I say a team then?
Sure.
Should one of us do that?
What would Fab say?
Yeah. So
trying to motivate my guy.
So I guess taking it seriously is probably the wrong term, right? And I think your point though is like, who has a realistic chance to win it that could really lean into it? And I've been trying to think about tournament teams because there is the group stage, but like it's single elimination. Who is good for that format versus teams that maybe like take time to flow and open up the game a little bit more, which can be tough. So Nashville is one that came to mind for me of like, if you're in a knockout tournament and you're Nashville, the way you set up, you always have a chance to win. And Hani's in this heater right now and you're at this peak and said it a couple times, but like, you don't know that Dax will be at his peak in the playoffs, or you don't know that Godoy coming through a Gold Cup will make it all the way through to November at his peak. So I think if you have all those pieces together, you take this as a shot for you to genuinely win something and to win your first trophy and to compete. And then Minnesota's my other one, because as I have stated, I don't know how long you have with everything working. And so you've made all the moves, go win something, and you're outside the playoff line. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs. I think they will if people are somewhat healthy, but why not try and win the first tournament you're in, which is League's Cup?
I had a list, but I actually had one, but now I want to make a list.
Weeby.
Sure. Yeah. So yes, you may. You have my permission.
Weeby's like, but don't take my list.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do different categories. I'll go top, middle, and way bottom.
Oh, I like it.
So I'm going LAFC. And it sounds kind of crazy. I crunched the numbers, which, by the way, producer Rich Kaufman produced.
But you said them. Publicly, you're the one that said them.
On the season preview, I did say I crunched the numbers. They played a game every 4 days through July 15th, if you look at the amount of days, the amount of games, which is just insane. So a part of me would think LAFC, that would be a good time to like take a foot off the pedal.
They get they have a bye, so they do take, you know, they'll skip the group stage, go straight to the round of 32.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Because they're campeón de
campeón. Better for my argument.
Yeah.
I think this is also a club that wants to win every trophy, and I love that about them. I think they went for Sporting Shield, they won the double last year, and they went after it in CCL, and by what I saw in CCL, that feels like a team that's an easy pick as a favorite for the tournament. In the middle, similarly coming off the CCL thing, Orlando really impressed me in the CONCACAF Champions League. And they won Open Cup last year to qualify. So in a tournament format, I think Pareja's gotten, you know, pragmatic. And now the attack is clicking a little bit more with Duncan McGuire. It's been great. So I think more and more they're a team that might be in that middle tier that could actually make a run.
All right, scrape the bottom.
And at the bottom, I have Inter Miami, which you would expect. But I think the part for me, it's a few things. One, of course, Messi, all of the eyes, all of the attention are going to be on this team. And for me, it's a huge opportunity for them to give a good account of themselves, which hasn't been good. I'm still on the side I know Sasha's broken down all the math and the equations, and it's really been as he's been breaking it. Yeah, he's crunched numbers. As he's been crunching is when they've really, like, this little passage to the bridge to Messi is the problem, where they've gotten worse and worse and worse. And so it's making Sasha look good.
Well, they've only lost 7 straight. So
yeah. So, but I'm, this is a chance for them in high leverage moments to try to sort their team out on the fly. Negri going down with the ACL makes it worse. But I think if they can, also the other part is just not even for them, but I think to give a good account of MLS, there's going to be a lot of people that are, which is extra pressure on them to give account of themselves. I don't think they can think about that, but I think that's the reality of the situation, is people are going to be watching them from that maybe haven't tuned in as of yet. So I'm definitely going to be, obviously, like everyone else, watching every second, but I think there's added pressure on Miami to figure it out for, so they can sort it out for the rest of the season stretch. And not just have it be like, okay, yeah, we made the debut, we got a couple matches in, but now we have to like figure out ourselves as a team without actual, like, you know, meaningful matches. They need those matches to be able to like integrate him and figure it out all on the fly. So there's a lot of pressure on them.
I'm too. Just so ecstatic that Kalen's list.
Sorry, guys.
Did not Venn diagram. I couldn't help it. My list. Well, can I separate lists?
Throw out there though, just so Inter Miami, they're in a group with Cruz Azul and Atlanta United. That's one of the tougher groups. So if they are going to, like, it's not, you don't have any time. You have to hit the ground running. So
Atlanta United was one of my teams, but now that I realize Inter Miami's in their group, crash and burn, 5 stripes. Inter Miami, moving on. We're good with that. I'm going to throw out the Revs, who have won exactly nothing other than a shield.
Other than a shield.
And have a team that could go win an MLS Cup. These are opportunities for teams that maybe don't have that knockout round success experience to maybe hone those tendencies before the playoffs come. So I'd love to see the Revs make a run. I think they have the talent to and experience to do that. I would also put FC Cincinnati in that bucket. You know, why not? We're talking about LAFC trying to win everything. Why not FC Cincinnati? Beat Guadalajara. Beat Sporting Kansas City. Go on a run. Get Bupenza integrated.
There's no
way. They have a little bit of, they have breathing room.
Like, we have state. Well,
they can loosen the belt a little bit in the league.
Are we going to preview this weekend at some point?
Yeah, right after this.
Okay. So, yeah, that will change things. Genuinely, this game against the Revs, I think, might change a lot about the way the season is treated by multiple teams because of how big Cincinnati can stretch their lead. If you are FC Cincinnati, your first, second, and third goal is to win Supporters Shield this year. To go from the worst club ever to winning your first trophy, I think that is your. That is your, it's not, it should be to win everything. And it will be, I think, as the club gets built. But you don't have time to build the depth yet. And so your focus should be to win the thing that you are in the driver's seat of.
All right, let's go to match day 22.
I killed your list?
No, that was perfect. RIP. That was my whole list. It was 3 teams.
Oh.
What game are you watching,
Dave? You want to add a team? No. I would, I'm probably going to be watching FC Cincinnati against the New England Revolution.
Man, wow, whoa.
So Cincinnati is 7 points up on the Revs. No team with games in hand can jump where the Revs stand. So 7 points is the closest any team in MLS could possibly be to Cincinnati with all games played.
Both have played 19 games. Let's just make that clear.
There are other teams that have played 18 or maybe 17 that could not jump over what the Revs are at. If Cincinnati wins this game, they move 10 points ahead, maybe 9 points ahead of the second place team, whatever it is. That's driver. Like, that's... At that point, you can go to the corner and start wasting time. If you are 10 points up at this point, you would need not only Cincinnati to drop off, other teams would probably need to play at a record points per game for the rest of the year to catch Cincinnati, even if Cincinnati fell apart, which I don't think they will. So for this team, it's must win. Now for the Revs, Miazga's out. Ian Murphy is suspended. Brandon Vasquez is not with the team. This is a huge opportunity to go to TQL and win, which is not a place that teams can go do that, but this is a group you can do it against. You're probably going to see a back line with center back starting in Ray Gaddis around Nick Haglund and Alvis Powell.
Now, reading between the lines, did I hear you say that as if Ray Gaddis starting at center back was a potential weakness? Or can you just...
pulls him off the wing, and that's...
Can you clarify for me?
Yeah, I just think it weakens you at right wing back, and so it's sort of... if you take a piece out of the car, it's a knock-on effect.
Fully understood what you were saying there.
So this is just a massive game.
Give him his face, Kalen. Give him that Ray finger.
In MLS, sometimes you don't get...
Forehead to forehead.
Because of the way the schedules work out, like whenever we go to MLS Cup, it's like, oh, these teams played like... on May 30th, and that was the last time we saw them. This is a big chance for the two teams. against each other to control their own destiny.
Free Bupinza as well.
Yeah.
So like for Cincinnati, it's not
they
just
started Kimi Ordóñez and Baji in the attack last game.
It's not just that they're going to come back after League's Cup and have an opportunity, that they'll have it with a premier striker, we think, based on profile and transfer number. All right, what's your game, Tom?
Nashville, DC. Again, I think Cincy, New England is the kind of the clear game of the weekend. But another one I'll be watching is Nashville, DC. And like, it's pretty simple for me. Like, Hani Mukhtar is must watch. And Christian Benteke, I have a soft spot for target man strikers. And I kind of low key love the way, like, how direct DC can be. But they have the finesse around it, because Benteke's game is so much more than just being the most physical striker in the league, which he is. He's got a real good finesse around it. Taxi Fontas, I believe, is back from international duty. Whatever, and Mateus Klik is one of the most fun players to watch in the league. So, yeah, Nashville, D.C., I think, is a fun one.
Curious to see how Nashville, with Schaffelberg out, Pico out, maybe Teal Bumbray out, attack that high back line of D.C. Like, who's going to be the runner? It was Luke Hackinson with Hani, and Hani has been... The whole team has been extremely quiet the last two games. Two losses on the road. So return home where they're very good. See if they can turn it around against a DC team that just knocked off Cincinnati. I'm going to take Crew Red Bulls. Clash of styles.
Good one too.
Possession versus not possession. So should be an interesting game.
33%, I think, was the final number for Red Bull. 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, they just gave it to Atlanta. Yeah. We're like, yeah, are you going to screw up? Cool, yeah, you did. Yeah, we're going to go straight to goal. But this should be a good game. I love watching the trio of Zelarayan and Cucho and Christian Ramirez. Just feels like from the jump, they've had chemistry and they seem to like each other. And when Cucho's dummying to Christian and passing to Christian and giving up goal scoring chances to Christian so he can score, that's a really good sign for where you're going. So,
Nancy, they play out of the back, right?
Yeah, they do.
Right.
Make some mistakes.
All right. Finishes up, Kalen. You could skip ahead if you want, because we won't be here on Monday.
Yeah, I'm going El Tráfico. And I only realized this earlier today, but this is the makeup on 4th of July from the match day one that got stormed out. That had all the hype and all the it was Ricky Puig on the
MVP Ricky Puig.
When we thought the Galaxy were gonna be good.
And there was
Don't say we.
This is now has a very different picture to the puzzle from where it was then. That said, the part that I'm still excited about is going back. It is around Ricky Puig and that Open Cup game.
Oh yeah,
Payaso, right? Yeah, the clown where Chiellini did not like the way he celebrated, holding up his jersey in front of the playing against a bunch of the young players, shall we say, some of the younger guys on LAFC. So I want to see Chiellini start. I mentioned, crunching the numbers on the amount of matches they played. I think there's going to be a list of guys on LAFC that are holding their hand up to play in this one, to want to go after this Galaxy team at a moment where they are maybe their weakest. Like, they've gotten weaker as time has gone. Cáceres is out. Center backs, you mentioned Ray Gattis. I think they're playing Lear Dam as a center back. So they've got like a lot of issues, no goals as far as a threat, and Ricky Puig in the middle of it. So could push some numbers around there in that as a position. So I think this LAFC team is going to be primed, and it's got a different meaning than the first match, but I think it's got some juice there. It's still El Tráfico. It's got some juice. It's at the Rose Bowl, and there's almost more kind of bad blood right now. So I'm hyped for that.
If the Galaxy win, over under on the first segment that Weeby's gonna make us do about, are the Galaxy back? Could they rescue the season?
No, I was 25 minutes. I was daydreaming about LAFC supporters coming with red clown noses to the match and filling the supporters section with like wigs and clown noses. That would be absolutely,
for what it's worth, I wasn't incredible. Against the celebration. I mean, yeah. I thought
I know I had no problem either. I'm here for all the trickle down as well.
I was against that.
Okay, that's fair.
Against.
I see why.
Against that MLS Next Pro team, relax, bro. They're going to CCL final.
It's not goalie wars, right?
Bro. Yeah, nice. They're going to CCL final for a reason.
That's it for us. We will not see you on Monday, of course. We apologize for that, but we're not sorry. Enjoy
Happy
your
Canada
day.
Day.
Enjoy your time in Canada as well as in the United States as Tom shows off his jean
Is that why you wore it? How perfect.
Yes.
That is not the first time he's worn that. Anyway, had
it's
a great time
he's
with
worried
you guys
about
today.
Nevis.
Stick around if you've made
vibes.
It through 80 minutes of hardcore MLS talk. We have a gift for you on the other side. That is, of course, Vanni Sartini singing Nickelback. Enjoy your week and your weekend. Adios.
I need a credit card that got no limit and a big blackjack with the bedroom in it. Gonna join the My High Club at 37,000 feet. I want a new tour bus full of old guitars, my own stars on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me. I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'm gonna cut my hair and change my name, because we all just wanna be big rock star and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars.
We'll be right back.